Glad you're here today. Look at your neighbor and say to them, I'm glad you're here today. Now tell them you're going to get blessed. There you go. Speak those things into existence. So I want to talk to you today, and I have a question for you. Have you ever had a tool that you didn't use much because you just didn't really know how to use it? Maybe for the ladies, have you ever had an appliance or something in the kitchen that you didn't use much because you really just didn't know how to use it? Yeah? I had an oscillating saw that somebody gave to me. I don't remember who gave it to me. I don't remember how I got it. It was a battery-operated oscillating saw, and I didn't know what to do with it. Had no idea what to do with it. And it wasn't a real expensive one or anything. And so I think I gave it away. In fact, I may have given it to our church yard sale. I'm not sure where it went. And a few years went by, and we bought a different house. And I had Jeremiah's brother Josiah over helping me on a couple little things because he's real knowledgeable. And he said, well, here, cut that with this. And he handed me an oscillating saw. And I looked at it like I had two heads, and I didn't know what to do with it. And he goes, well, let me show you. And he showed me, and I was like, that is so cool. That really works well. And I had one of those, and I gave it away. He said, why'd you do that? I said, well, I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know what to cut with it. And he goes, well, you know, if you're going to do these floors, we put new floors throughout the house that we bought. If you're going to do these floors, here's what you want to do. And he told me what to do. And I'm like, I have to have an oscillating saw. And I went out to the store and bought an oscillating saw. Had to have it. I have used that thing for so many things now. I love an oscillating saw. It's my favorite tool currently. It's just been so great. When you're putting in floors, you can cut the bottoms of the door jams off and slide the floor piece underneath. It was great. And by the way, I don't know whether you've ever seen an oscillating saw. They actually were something that was developed to cut bones in operating rooms. Seriously, the doctors were, and it was hard because the leg would go back and forth. The oscillating saw vibrates so fast, they go right through the bone. Now you feel good, don't you? Just wanted to give you that good feeling this morning. Everybody's, the idea of cutting bones just makes you all feel good. So, a big part of what we do here at church is to equip you, the saints, for the work of the ministry. We talk about that a lot. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And, you know, in some church dynamics, the work of the ministry is what I do, and you all just sit and support that. And I've never been that way. You know, I've told you over and over and over, God's called you to something great, and he has great things for you to do, and my job really isn't to do all the great stuff. My job is to help you do great stuff. And a lot of you do some amazing things. We've watched God using you and seeing God do great things through you. Last night, we had a leadership meeting, and Marlene held up a sheet and waved, and she said, this is the volunteer sheet for the stuff at the church, and it's full. And I went, yeah! You know, that's a good thing. I love the fact that people signed up for different things and are getting things done. I came in this morning, and my guitar cord was all nice in a little pile because somebody vacuumed the platform. Isn't that great? Always good when those things happen. And by the way, if any of you are really, really, really good with shampooing carpets, I will personally move all of these little pew things out of here if you want to shampoo this whole sanctuary. Anytime you want to, just let me know. I'm not thinking I'm going to get a volunteer for that right away, but kind of a big room. But thank you all for signing up, and we do need people to help here so this church will function. There are things that we have to do, things we have to take care of. I saw the other day, we've got a little leak someplace above this, and it's almost above me now, and I'm going to have to find that, and it's going to have to be fixed. Somebody pointed that out to me. That's good. But the reason this church needs to function is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why this church needs to function. I don't know if that's true of every church, but this church needs to function not so you can come here and do your ministry. This church needs to function so that we can equip you to go do your ministry. The ministry isn't all about what we do here. The ministry is doing what we do here so you can go out there and do the ministry. And so our gatherings are important, but they aren't the end of everything that we do. We do everything so we can do this. We do this so we can do everything. Does that make sense? Understand what I'm saying? And honestly, I had a conversation the other day with some pastors, and we were talking about this very thing because COVID has brought some things to our attention, and we've changed things in our churches in a lot of ways. We've had to change things, and we've actually had this experience, a lot of the churches, not as much as some others, where people aren't coming back to church after COVID. They got used to watching online. And if you're watching online, we love you and we're glad you're online. It's better than not being able. And maybe there's a reason you can't be here, and we understand that. But gathering together is important. We don't want to make that as a minor thing. But we've also recognized that sometimes the gathering of people becomes so much our focus that we don't remember what our focus really should be. Because it's important to gather us together, but that's only so we can send you out. And that God can touch this world. Because he doesn't just want to have a bunch of local places where people gather together and that's the end of everything he does. He wants us to be equipped to do great things. So church on purpose, but it isn't our purpose. Does that make sense? So that brings me back to the tool thing, because sometimes we try to equip people and we even kind of say, here, do this, but they still don't know what to do with this. You know, you may even feel like you have the equipment, but you're still not sure how to make it work when it comes to spiritual things. So let's talk today about one of the tools that God has already given you. And this may be a little bit of a shock to your system today, because you may not have ever thought of it this way. I'm going to try to turn things over a little bit and make you think about things that I don't know if you'll all be comfortable with this or not. Pastor loves to do that stuff, you know. There's pastoring and then there's meddling. I don't know the difference, so I just so you'll be aware. So let me just ask this question, and please don't feel awkward, but let's just do this. How many of you have ever given somebody a prophetic word? Please stand up. You've ever given somebody a prophetic word? All right, good. This is going to make my illustration really easy. Thank you. Please sit down. Now, being able to give someone a prophetic word doesn't make you better than anyone else in any way, any more than me having an oscillating saw makes me a better carpenter. It is easier to use, and it was amazing how well it worked when I figured it out, but it wasn't me who, you know, the oscillating saw didn't create it. I discovered it, and then I began to use it, and the more I began to use it, the more fun I was having with it. It's just a fun tool. You can get so many cool things with it, including bones, but we won't talk about that. So the rest of you who didn't stand up haven't given anyone a prophetic word. Well, what if I told you you are mistaken? What do you mean? What if you've given people prophetic words and you just didn't really recognize it? I hear music. Yeah. You're not paying for telemarketers who call you in the middle of the service. That's good. Well, let's just try something. Here's an interesting verse of Scripture. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. You may not think that you've given somebody a prophetic word, but when I get done, you may recognize that you actually have given somebody a prophetic word. And it's not meant to shock you. It's meant to encourage you and empower you. And that's going to be my goal today. 1 Corinthians 14, if you're there, say amen. Okay, most of us are there. Verse 31, for you can all, everybody say all, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Now, I know people who take some of the things that are said in the 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, chapters, and they try to say that not everybody prophesies, but I hate to inform them they are misunderstanding that. That's a teaching for another time. So if you have that idea that not all have the gift of prophecy, that doesn't mean that all can't prophesy, and we'll have to go into that a little bit of a different thing, because that's a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. I will say that God says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. God wants you to desire them, but he doesn't want to give them to you. No, that's not who God is. God does want you to desire them, and he does want to give them to you, and he says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He doesn't ask you to desire something and then tell you, but I only want to give that to a certain person or a certain people or very just these special ones, they have that gift. That's not who God is. And again, we could teach on gifts and receiving the gifts of the Spirit, and that's a whole other thing that I don't want to open up this morning, because if I go down that rabbit trail, I won't get to where I'm trying to go. But if you've been a Christian for more than just a few days, it's likely that you have given somebody a prophetic word. Because once Jesus is in you, he can speak through you. If Jesus is speaking through you, then your words are no longer your words, they're his words. If they're his words, then they are by the very nature coming from his Spirit. And if they're coming from his Spirit through you, then they are, by their very nature, prophetic.
Okay, maybe.
Let me ask you this. Who here can quote one of the promises of God? Any of you? Give me a quote. Somebody throw one out at me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you seek me, you will find me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, if you said that to somebody who felt alone, in the proper context, it might be the very promise that they need to hear, coming from the Word of God, but coming as a Word of God through you, and it might resonate with them, and they might need to hear that right then, and all of a sudden it becomes prophetic in nature. Have you ever had that time when you've said something to somebody and it was the right word at the right time? Like apples of gold in a setting of silver? Wow. If you're speaking his words, they are no longer natural. They are supernatural. Okay. And that word carries the nature of God. So what you did was prophetic, and it's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, we can read this, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. Here's another version of it, the Passion Translation. I like this. For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him, and as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring him glory. The promises of God, when we speak them into people's lives, are prophetic in nature. It speaks to them about what God wants to do and can do in their lives. And there are times when I need to hear the promises of God, and when I hear them, really hear them, not just read them, but actually quote them, say them to myself, sometimes say them to others. It's like the thing comes, it's like a light comes on, and I go, bing, oh, That's for me. And I start to receive it by faith. What is a promise from God? What does it look like? Is it something that God wants us to have? Yes. So again, I think it makes sense that that is, by its very nature, coming from another realm, through someone to someone, and therefore it is prophetic. If I speak a promise to someone in a moment that they need it, I've all of a sudden just brought that up to a new level. It may not be one of those major prophecies where you tell them their address and their phone number, and you know, there are people who get. I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was in South America, and he was there to see the mayor of the city, and it was a large city, but he didn't tell us which city because the politics involved in it sometimes for some of these people when they actually listen to a guy and then the word gets out that they heard this guy, and you know, so it's complicated. But the mayor wasn't there yet. He was waiting to come, and they were waiting on him, and the secretary came out to speak to them, and through an interpreter, because this guy didn't speak Spanish, he said to the interpreter, tell this woman, and he started talking about cancer that she had been going through and how her sister was a doctor and knew all this stuff without knowing it because the Holy Spirit began to speak it to him. And the woman puddles up and runs out of the room crying and then comes back in and says, that was all so good. And he says, well, not only that, but da, 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 da. And she goes out again crying. And then she comes back in and she's got an assistant with her. And the assistant is just like 20 and the woman's closer to 50 probably is what he said. He didn't know their ages for sure. And he says, and the Lord says, this is like your daughter, but the two of you have been fighting, and the two of them run out crying. and then this guy, there's an armed guard, two armed guards at this thing. And one of them leans over and says, has he got anything for me? And the interpreter asks him, and he tells the interpreter, tell him. The next thing you know, that man goes out on the floor under the power of God, and people are starting to gather. And he's having this moment where all these things are coming to him. And yeah, I don't do that yet. Sometimes God gives me some amazing things, but I can't say I've ever had that level of the flow of the Spirit through me. However, what if I get to that level by living the level that God's given me? What if I get to that level by speaking the promises of God to people like you and to other people out on the street? Maybe we've got these little books that we gave to the youth a while back, and I'm going to maybe buy some more. They're called Jesus Person Pocket Promise Books. And they've got hundreds of promises of God in them. What if we just got to the point where we remembered some of these promises like we did this morning, and at an opportune time when someone's going through something, we just spoke into their life and said, hey, here's a promise from God. Grab hold of this. It might come on to that prophetic level at which people actually hear from God and it changes their life. Yeah, come on. I'm not saying it, Paul said it. Wait a minute, it's not Paul saying it, it's the Holy Spirit to us through the letters to the 1 Corinthians. And you all can prophesy. Y'all can. All of you. And probably you have. All y'all. Now let's think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 through 20 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I talked to the youth about this last week. I told them that word could be translated new species. And if you're a Christian, if you've come to know Jesus, you're not like the people who don't know Jesus. You're a different creature altogether. No, we like to think we're just like them, only where fortunately we're going to heaven and maybe they're not. No, no, you're a new creature. You're a new species. You're something different. Something's changed in you. You're an alien. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. How many think that's prophetic in nature? Letting people know that God loves them and wants to bring them into his kingdom. That's prophetic in nature. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador do? He speaks on behalf of the country he comes from, the place he comes from. You no longer come from here. You are now part of heaven. You're here to bring on earth as it is in heaven to earth. And your job, my job, is to let them know that they're being called into another world. You really are aliens. When we share the scripture with anyone, and it carries that level of prophetic, which all God has to do is breathe on his word in their heart, And by the way, if we share a promise that we've personally experienced, it even has more of that breath on it. Then that breath of God gets on that thing and lives start to get changed because we're speaking the word of God into their life. Revelation 19:10 says, and you've heard me say this a lot, I've quoted this verse over the years, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you testify what God has done for you, you're speaking to them the possibility that God could do something for them. So again, anyone in this room who's ever shared their testimony has been prophetic in nature, whether you think you gave them a word of prophecy or not. Are you oscillating with this yet? That's what an oscillating tool does. It just vibrates real fast back and forth, you know. I'm just trying to get this to vibrate inside of you. Just so you can just feel it and realize, wait a minute. That's what I get to do. And if you learn to use the tool, by the way, it's really fun. Like, it's really fun. I was trying to cut something one day, and I was having a terrible time with it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. If I got my oscillating tool out, this would go a lot faster. And it did. I would have been there all day cutting on that thing, but no, I got an oscillating tool right through it. You know, you want to cut through some of the stuff in life with people that you're trying to deal with? Just start quoting the Word of God to them. Just start giving them your testimony. Tell them what God did for you. That'll cut right through a lot of stuff. And it'll get you to the point where you are being prophetic, which God wants you to do because we can all prophesy. So, now that I've told you these things, I won't ask you to stand up, but really, let me ask you, is it really true that you have never shared a scripture verse with someone, that you've never had a promise fulfilled in your life that you could testify about, that you've never shared a testimony of something that was going on around you, near you? By the way, we have a testimony who walked into our church last night. She's not here today, but y'all know that Beth went through quite a thing. Beth Bachman went through quite a thing with COVID, and she's home, and she still has a few things that make it a little hard for her to come to the morning service, but she's watching probably right now. Hi, Beth. And she's still waiting to get a thing out. What's it called? A tube? Yeah, like a feeding tube kind of thing? Yeah. Still got to get that pulled, but she came last night to our leadership meeting because it wasn't going to be very long, and we took care of, you know, getting her a plate full of food, and we all had a meal together. It was so good to see her, and we cried, and she cried, and it was great. It was great, and she's a miracle. She's a miracle. I told you. They told me at the hospital that she was at that they were getting ready to, they were going to do this stuff to her, and then they were going to send her over to Regency, and the nurse said, but, you know, just want you to know, I mean, we've only had a couple people that we sent over there come out. They'd sent dozens of people over there, and only a couple people had come out. Beth's now a third person who came out of that. She's a miracle. She survived. We're excited. So God's breath is on our words when we're listening to God, when we're speaking scripture. Listen to what God said about a prophet in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Wow. I don't believe Samuel could just say anything he wanted to say. But I do believe that God would inspire Samuel and that he would feel the breath, or if you will, the Spirit of God on something, and God would cause those words to be fully established. So let me ask this. How many of you have had God speak to you? Now, I don't mean audibly, although just for the fun of it, how many people feel like you have had God speak to you audibly? Yeah, there's several. I've mentioned the one time I felt like God spoke to me audibly. I was sitting in a gymnasium watching a basketball team for Logan High School, and I didn't know anybody on the team. I was there with a girl who was dating me at the time, and she only used me to be transportation so she could get to the ball game so she could go hang out with her friends. And so I was by myself, and halftime came, and out walked a beautiful woman, beautiful young woman, amazing young woman, who happened to be the pastor's daughter in that town, and they crowned her homecoming queen. And I looked at her and I said, now, Lord, you know, because frustrated about this other girl, I looked at her and I said, Lord, why can't I meet and marry a girl like that? And I heard a voice say, you will. And I looked. And I thought, you're goofy. I don't know who said that, but I'm like, I was like doubting it could be God. And some months later, we ended up together, and we both knew right away God was up to something. And I had forgotten that he had spoken that to me. But then, when we found ourselves engaged in a very short period of time that I won't talk about in front of teenagers, I remembered, and God had spoken to us in some other very clear ways, and we knew that this was something God was doing. It's neat when God speaks to you out loud, but I've always said, too, that the reason God speaks to us out loud is because sometimes we're just too thick-headed to hear it any other way. And I do believe that God wants us to hear his still, small voice, and he wants us to be sensitive to his Spirit. He wants those things to happen for us, and we need to learn to do that. But how many of you have heard God speak to you? Well, if you're saved, you've heard God speak to you. Yeah, that's right. John 6:44. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation again. The only way people come to me is by the Father who sent me. He pulls on their hearts to embrace me, and those who are drawn to me, I will certainly raise them up on the last day. When you were drawn to God, that was God calling you, calling your name, calling you into his presence. You felt that, you sensed that, you knew that. Something said, I got to do this. I got to come to God. You've heard God's voice. Whether you've heard it audibly or whether you've heard it some other way, you've heard God's voice. We all have. And most of us have heard God's voice many times. So if we can hear God's voice for us, we can hear God's voice for others. Yes, we can. And that's a big deal. Because you want to hear God's voice for certain people, don't you? Those who, like if you're married and your spouse isn't hearing God's voice, you're hoping that you can hear God's voice to help them hear God's voice. If you've got children who aren't hearing God's voice, you want them to hear God's voice. You're desperate to hear God's voice for them, to help them hear God's voice. Well, I think God wants us to hear God's voice so we can help them hear God's voice, and that's called prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-3, I mentioned this earlier. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Edification, to build up. Exhortation, to stir up. Comfort, to cheer up. We can build someone up with our words, and that's always good, with our words. Although be careful of being flattery, you know, falling into flattery. But we can build some up with our words. We can tell them something good. But when we start to build them up with God's word, we move again from the natural to the supernatural. It's a big deal. Sometimes, though, the best way to get started is just to try to say, Lord, help me to encourage someone. And you start to speak and God starts to breathe on what you're saying. And all of a sudden there's more on it than there was when you said it. And you find yourself saying things that you didn't expect to say. And all of a sudden you've stepped into something that is beyond what you're able to do. And that is amazing. And it can happen. And it can happen through you. So if our desire is to be used by the Spirit, God will see the motive of our heart. And I believe he'll cooperate with the motive of our heart because that's the motive of his heart. He loves people. He wants to bless them. So if your desire is to bless someone, maybe you just start to speak and God just starts to give you more than you expected to get. What if we just started looking for a scripture, a promise of God, where when we saw a situation and we remembered that scripture, we just spoke that into their life? What if that was just the beginning? And it might be all that you'll be able to do or even given to do, but it might be just the beginning of something that God will give you. One of the best prophets that Lisa and I ever had a prophetic word from was a man named Dick Mills, who years later we brought him to this church. The first time we saw Dick Mills, he spoke a word over us. And that word was chock full of scripture. We still have that word. One of the most important verses in that was we had just gone through kind of a tough season in the early days in this church. And we had just kind of come through that. And he started prophesying about what we had just come through and what we were going to experience. And he said that God was letting us go through these things so that as we made it through these things, we would be able to help others make through similar things. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a good word. Sometimes that stuff just becomes so powerful in you, you never forget it. And you might be used to speak that powerfully into someone else. To, if you will, encourage. Or exhortation. People in our culture think to stir up means to take something where the stuff settled in the bottom of a jar and stir it up so it gets through the water. But the stir up here is actually like a fire. There's actually a fire going sometimes, but it's not doing much. And what do? You get a stick and you do this, and all of a sudden, whoosh, it stirs up. That's what God wants us to do with people around us. Help them get their fire back. And if you give them a word that has his nature on it, it is by nature then prophetic, and it stirs them up so that they get their fire back. And comfort. There's so many scriptures that can be comforting, that can bring people into peace in the midst of the storm. One of my favorite is, God wants to give us the peace that passes all understanding. You ever heard that one? God wants to give you the peace that passes all understanding. By the way, though, don't forget, if you want the peace that passes understanding, you have to be willing to give up your understanding to just have peace, even though you don't know why it's going this way. I'm going to have that peace anyway. And sometimes I speak that into people's lives, and it's amazing how often it helps. You know, when I was a young man and the gifts of the Spirit started moving in my life, there were some people who, you would call them cessationist by the terminologies of theology, and they basically believed the gifts of the Spirit had passed away. But even the cessationist preachers that I knew back then believed that when they got up and preached the Word of God, that it was prophetic in nature. So anytime you share the Word of God, again, it is prophetic in nature. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly, even in every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of... Yes, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand, the sand of every shore. When I wake each morning, you are still with me. You know, God made every single person on this planet, right? We know that. And God doesn't make junk. We know that. So there is something great in every single person on this planet. Something great that just needs called out of them. We've said this before. Anyone can dig up dirt on other people, but how many can find the gold in other people? You can see what's wrong with people, but can you see what's right with people? If you can see what's right with people and you can speak to what's right with them, you can call them into their destiny rather than into their history or their mess-ups or their problems or whatever they've been through. God wants us to find the gold in others. And we do that by hearing his voice and speaking that life. And God, by the way, has thoughts about everybody. They are more than the sand of the sea. So God sees the gold. God's thoughts about you or about anybody will never be exhausted. And though you can't give them all of God's thoughts for them, sometimes God puts his thoughts for them in your heart. And if you share that, it is, again, prophetic. And those thoughts, by the way, are good thoughts. I know there are some who are a little bit afraid to be prophesied over because they're afraid somebody's going to read them the riot act and talk about all the bad stuff they've done. God sees that, but that's not how he wants us to prophesy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Jeremiah 29:11, we've said this so many times, especially through the COVID pandemic period that we've been through. He says, though, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Sometimes the word thoughts there is translated plans. I know the plans that I have for you, and that's a good translation as well. But the plans come from the very fact that God is thinking of us. And thoughts is actually a better translation than plans. So prophecy is helping people know God's thoughts for them. So when should I prophesy? Great question. When is the anointing of the anointed one on you? All the time. You mean Jesus is with you all the time? I hear Lisa back there in the sound booth. All the time. Mean Jesus is with me all the time? Mean the anointed one's with me all the time? I don't have to. I thought I had to, you know, let's go to the worship service and get it all stirred up. Now I've got to, oh, I feel it coming. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not against those moments when God touches you like that, but he's with you all the time. And he's ready to use you all the time. And you might just walk into the, I don't know, Quickie Mart or whatever and find somebody and they just look down and you just say something nice to them and a conversation strikes up. And the next thing you know, I had this happen a while back. I was on my way back from going over to Wabash to drop off my grandson. We pulled into a Quickie Mart. Next thing I know, I'm talking to this guy and he's telling me how he doesn't care much for church people. And I'm like, yeah, me either. Boy, I tell you, some of them, whew, I can tell you the truth. I've been a pastor for 40 years. I can tell you, church people can be, well, man. We had this great conversation, and I just encouraged him, and he was like, wow, thank you. And it was by its very nature prophetic. But I didn't plan on it. We were just having fun. You know, sometimes nothing comes of having fun, but sometimes something does come of having fun. By the way, here's a fun one I did the other night. Do any of you get your, if you pump your gas and you get a receipt, do you ask for the receipt? I always ask for them because my wife wants to know where I spent the money. So I just, you know, I always ask for the receipts and I hit print receipt and it didn't print. It says clerk has money or clerk has receipt. Sorry. Money would be good too. Clerk has receipt. So I walked in and I'm standing in line there and I finally get up to the guy and I says, "You must be Clark." He looks at me funny, and I said, "Well, because it said Clark has my receipt." And he goes, "I'm sorry, the machine's not working right." And then there were too many people for me to have much of a conversation with him. He's like, "Ah, oh, just have a good day." Just made it. He laughed. He says, "That's a good one." So, at least make people happy when you go in places. At least you can do that. It's the least we can do. I don't know if there was anything prophetic about that. It was more pathetic than prophetic, but it was still fun. Well, then when do I do this? Whenever you have an opportunity. And what should you say? I just say something encouraging. Say a scripture that comes to mind, a promise. Tell them God loves them. There's been times when that's all I had to say to somebody and they were just already falling apart because nobody loved them, they thought. And then I told them God loved them and they were like, huh, that's so much better. You are prophetic. Look at your neighbor and say, you are prophetic. I didn't say pathetic, I said prophetic. You are prophetic. I think a couple of you actually did that. I see you. Yeah, you are. So look for opportunities to encourage others and then watch for God to add his presence to whatever encouraging things you can say, and your prophetic gifting will start to grow. Be the one who shares the heart of God. Amen.